giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single season. We're here. We're back. Sixth season of SBR. I'm Cliffy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We're here, guys. We're here. We're bringing it. The season has started. And boy, there's lots of things going on. So we're going to talk about James Harden getting traded. We're going to talk about the in-season tournament. But let's take a double step back looking at the news and start. Joe, Wemby's for realsies. He's for realsies. We had him at 49, and that was too low.
Wemby looks ridiculous. I mean, to be fair, how do you know that he's going to be this good?
You don't know. But there's no data. There's
amazing. The first Phoenix game where they come back from, like, what were they down? Like 15 down or something in the fourth quarter? It was over. And Wemby's just single-handedly bringing them back. He's blocking shots. He's making jumpers. He's driving the lane. I mean, he looks amazing. And then the second game, they play them twice in a row. And you would think, all right, Phoenix, okay, now we're going to play serious. Yeah, we're going to play serious, guys. Yeah. And he dropped like 38.
Yeah. He makes Kevin Durant look so small. It's crazy.
When he comes off a pin down and he's catch and shoot, how do you stop that? How can you possibly stop that? The guy's a step behind. And even if you were able to follow him, it's like so closely around, he can obviously shoot over you. Like he could shoot over anybody. I mean, if he's this good already, I mean, he's still skinny. Like he's still a stick. And guys do muscle him a little bit. Man, he's going to be really good. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be really good.
You know, Shaq's always like, Bull Bull did it first. Bull Bull, Bull Bull, Bull Bull, Bull Bull. All that talk, right?
No.
Here's the difference between Wemby, Bull Bull, Thonmaker.
Yeah, sure.
Thonmaker. Chet Holmgren, all those guys.
Holmgren looks really good, though, too, by the way.
Chet is like the second best version of this.
Yes.
Wemby moves like a guard. It's smooth.
Yeah.
It doesn't look awkward.
I'll just say it looks normal. Like I wouldn't say it's like a guard, but every big man who's that tall, they look slow when they move.
Yeah.
You know, they look like Jokic. Like what you just say about Jokic. All those guys, that's how they look, but it's not that they're slow, it's just they're so long. Obviously it looks slower. It looks like it's in slow motion. Wemby looks normal.
He's fast.
Which means he's extremely fast because his strides are so long. If it doesn't look slow, like to your naked eye, if it doesn't look slower, then that's really fast because of the space that he's covering in that time. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't look like, you know, like he doesn't look like Steph Curry or something. But he just looks like a regular person. Like, he doesn't look like he's in slow motion, which is how those guys, Thonmaker, Bull Bull, like, those guys, when they move around, it just looks slower. And he doesn't
They can
look
do
slower.
The moves. It's they can do just the moves. Slow motion moves.
It's slow motion. And those guys are extremely skinny also, by the way. All these guys were extremely skinny. You know, and Wemby doesn't look super skinny to me. I think we've said this before, but he doesn't look as... He never looked as fragile to me as Chet did last season. Yeah. So
that's the thing that makes me excited about Wemby, because of the guard movement and like the smoothness that I see, to me that's less injury risk. When you look awkward, I feel like that's way more injury. Yeah. The reason why we said Chet Holmgren looks like a giraffe that's trying to walk on ice skates in the blizzard is because it doesn't look as smooth, and so it makes me concerned that he's going to get hurt. Whereas Wemby, for some reason, as unnatural as he looks as like a person, the Slender Man,
he looks like a giraffe still, but like a cartoon giraffe on steroids or something.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like weird. Like, oh gosh, that guy's moving real fast.
He can move. Leak's got to be careful. All right, Joe, let's move on to your boy. Joe, Jeff Teague is the best NBA podcaster.
I don't know if he's the best podcaster. He's the best guest. This guy has crazy just stories. This guy. Dude.
And he's honest. That's what I love about it.
He must journal. Like, he must keep a record of these things because he brings out new stories every time.
Every time.
You know, and I love his stories. He's telling a story. I was listening to him tell a story about how he got left behind when he was on Atlanta. And, like, his sister came to the game who never comes, and he was, like, chatting her up after. And the team literally just left him. The bus left. And he came out, and he was like, nah. And he said it was his last season. I love these last season in Atlanta stories, or last season wherever, at his stop. And he's like, they knew he was checked out. Coach and staff doesn't even care about him and stuff. Oh, man, it's great. And then they came. And he actually had a good game that day, he said. Which was, you know, the first time in a while. And he got on the bus and everybody just, like, clowned him. They didn't even care. Nobody even apologized to him.
Yeah.
He just said, get on the bus. I think he said Coach Bud was like, just get on the effing bus. And they just left. He didn't even say anything. He just...
Yeah, he talked about how, like, when he was on the Celtics, he was, like, super checked out. He's like, yeah, I'm good. And then Brad Stevens was drawing up a play and wrote JT. And he's like... I'm catching the ball. He's like, no, that's not you.
Yeah.
That's Jason Tatum. He's like, oh, all right.
Oh.
He's good. Joe, who are the top five and former NBA players or current NBA players that make up the starting five best NBA podcast, either guests or casters?
Well, we got to go Shump.
Shump's
up there.
Dude, to me, Shump is the best storyteller.
He's a best storyteller. Yeah. I think Teague has more stories.
More stories.
Because he's been around the league and he's been with different teams and he's got a lot of story. And he's been at the center of a lot of just strange happenings. Yeah. Like, he's been there. So, and he was in the league a long time. So,
my favorite part about Shump is he has such good expressions. And like, he's very able to clearly convey the emotions he was feeling in a moment. Just like when Kobe was like, you played a good game, young fella.
What you want, bro?
What you want, bro? Like, that's an amazing way to display your and put us in that moment. Like, it was so good.
His questions, his confused face. What do you mean? Like, what you mean? Like, the game's still going. Like, his little, he is a very good storyteller. Shump, you got Shump. You got Teague.
Yep. That's obviously. The starting. Yeah, starting guards, yeah.
From there, it gets a little bit...
No, give me Kevin Garnett, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Give
you gotta
me
go KG.
KG, okay? When KG tells his stories about how he was trash-talking Jordan... And then after he was gasping for air.
And he said, my bad. He said, apologize to his teammates.
Yeah, I said, my bad, guys. My bad. Such a good storyteller. Such a good storyteller.
Honestly, I would go. I can't go. I cannot go all story cast. I'm going to have to go JJ.
Oh, JJ.
Because JJ, actually, he is funny, too. He's got his own style.
Yeah.
You know, it's more the kind of dry humor, right?
And, yeah. Yeah.
But he, great analysis. And then I think I would go, if we're building a team, I'd go Draymond.
Oh. Yeah.
Draymond's got a good balance.
He's the solo podcaster.
Yeah. He's got a good balance. So he has great analysis, but he keeps it real. And that's the thing about KG. His thing is authenticity. He's so authentic.
Yeah,
like, he just kind of says whatever. Been. He's funny, but it's just who he is. And recently I saw something where he was just giving Ben Simmons props. Like, just saying, like, hey, you know, good job. Like,
he's
obviously
well.
He worked on his game. He looks confident. Yeah, and just kind of encouraging him. And I was like, oh, wow, that's different. Just kind of like, you know, you don't see many podcasters do that. I think a lot of the other ones, you know, they're okay, but that's a squad I'd go with. I think if you had that team, that would be an incredible podcast team right there.
Solid crew.
Sorry, I gotta give six man Pat Bev.
Oh, Patty Bev.
Pat Bev,
your favorite player's favorite player.
I will say this: Pat Bev has an agenda. It's clear. Okay, every time he talks. He does try to paint himself in a positive light. I'm just going to say that. Okay.
Of course.
He's still playing. So, I mean, you know, I understand that. But man, Pat Bev is so funny. He's just funny. He's just like an awesome troll. He is such a good troll.
He's always
he knows what he's doing. He's very self-aware. And he is just a funny dude.
So speaking of Draymond came out and said, last year it was so hard to come to work. The team chemistry was so bad. But this year I'm happy to come to work. Duh.
Okay, well, I mean, Dray kind of has to say that. He punched a dude in the face.
Duh. The roster is exactly the same, except one person is different.
Yes. And look, to be fair, we all see it. The Golden State Warriors look like a championship contender again.
The Warriors again.
Which is what we said. They're got better addition by subtraction.
Yes.
They were going to get a lot better just because Poole's gone. And they are a lot better. Steph looks great. Draymond looks motivated, whether he's playing or not. Clay, I mean, hitting game winners. That's what you need. You just need Steph and Clay hitting game winners on like back-to-back games, right? Like, you need that clearly defined roles and hierarchy. You don't need Jordan Poole shooting a 30-foot shot and missing, and then guys hanging their heads and somebody trying to say something to him, and then he gets mad because someone's trying to talk to him, and then that kills the whole thing. That kills the whole vibe.
Also, we talked about this before. The Warriors were 11-30 on the road last year. And that team made the playoffs. They were the sixth seed. It wasn't even the play-in. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? Because what happens on the road, Joe? What happens on the road? You got to hang out.
With your team. You got to hang out. Family's not around.
Can't go home. Can't hang out with your friends.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, why do you think Draymond is dabbing up LeBron when he's over in L.A.? He's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing? Let's hang out. Let's hang out, dude. Let's hang out. Yeah. Why do you think he's going to the club with LeBron? Because he don't want to hang out with his team.
Yeah. And especially for a team like Golden State. I was just going to say, you know, it's like, you know, they're so built around that togetherness.
That's their, like, moniker.
That's their whole thing. Yeah, that's
their
whole thing.
Strength in numbers. That's their, like, motto.
Exactly. And I think if you're a different team, maybe you can survive. If that's not your culture, maybe you can survive.
Yeah.
Right? I think sometimes on LeBron's teams, they're not always best friends. You know, they don't have to be necessarily to get the job done, right? Yeah, Kobe's teams. You don't have to be best friends necessarily to get the job. You know, but Jordan's teams is, like, fighting with his – teammates, yeah. You know, and
no,
but with the Warriors, I don't think that's gonna work. That you got to be homies like all the time, and if you have this secret animosity, that's not really gonna translate to
especially when
basketball.
It's not so secret. Joe, the Celtics are soaring, the Grizzlies are tanking, and the Lakers are whatever. Any of those things surprise you?
Not really. Celtics look great. KP looks even better than I thought he'd look. They have the same problems though. As soon as the tournament started, and we'll talk about this later, but just fell apart.
When it gets to crunch time.
When it gets to crunch time, all of a sudden they're trying to lose a game. And Jaylen's turning it over. And Tatum is deferring. And also turning it over. They just don't know what to do. Drew doesn't want to take a shot. So until I see that, I mean, they might win 70 games. I mean, honestly, they're like very stacked talent-wise. Yeah. Derek White. They still have Derek White. Even losing Robert Williams and losing Marcus Smart, they're still stacked. And losing Malcolm Brogdon, they're still stacked. So talent-wise, they're amazing, but I don't care. I literally don't care until the playoffs. Like, nothing they do really matters until the playoffs.
Last thing, Joe. Jokic answering his own questions at the press conference. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. He's mastered everything, Cliff.
He's 10 steps ahead. He's 10 steps ahead. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care. That's truly the most remarkable thing about this.
He's just amazing.
Like, all right, whatever. All right, let's go. And he plays. He's just like, yeah, all right. Let's get like 40 and 15 and 15. And then I'm just gonna, I know what you're gonna ask. All right, yeah, yeah, Mike, this player played well. Yeah, we struggled here. Yeah, this player, yeah, we're gonna do better. I'm like, oh my god, he's like
too easy for
mastered me. The art of speeding his way home after work.
But he's so good.
Yeah,
he's so good at it.
Yeah,
he's on top of the world right now. He's on a tier alone right now.
He is, like, truly untouchable. Yeah. Untouchable. Just in terms of, like, you can't boo him, nothing. He's untouchable.
He's amazing.
All right. Let's get into it, Joe. Main topic of the day. Was it shocking? I don't know. Some people were shocked. But James Harden, Joe, got traded. Let me break it down to you. The Clips acquire James Harden and PJ Tucker. The Sixers acquire Covington, Batum, Marcus Morris, Kenyon Martin Jr., 3 first-round picks, a 20, mm-hmm. which is a 2028 unprotected pick, 2029 pick swap, and a 2026 pick from OKC. The Sixers, they purge Harden, get back some depth, and 3 picks. And those Clipper picks, Joe, are gonna be pretty delicious because everyone's deal is up in 2025, and those picks are 2028 and a 2029 pick swap. Joe, even if they all re-sign their ages that season up to 2028, Kawhi will be 37, PG will be 38, Harden will be 39, Westbrook would be 39. Those are going to be juicy.
Yep.
Super juicy. A little short on the Sixers, right? Let's just do a little tangent for them. They're giving the keys to Maxey, who we love. That dude has been balling. 37-6, 50%. That's through the first 3 games of the season. It's been 8 games now. But of course, Joe, you can't help but sigh at tanking and the process because what was once Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Embiid has now become Embiid and Maxey and some other things. I guess Tobias is still there. As for the Clippers, Joe, they're on the suicide mission for the title because, you know, outside that 2027 first-round pick they have no picks until the start of the next decade. Man, so, Joe, all day or cray-cray, James Harden makes the Clippers a shoe-in for the Western Conference Finals. Better than the Suns, the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Mavs.
No. No. Stupid. No. Cray-cray. They're not even – they're like the 6th best team. Aren't they? Nuggets, Suns, Warriors, Lakers, Mavs. Yeah, literally. Kings. If De'Aaron Fox, because De'Aaron Fox is hurt right now. Yeah, he's hurt. But I mean, when he comes back, I'm sure they'll start rolling. And if everybody's healthy, why would you trust the Clippers at this point? Like, yes, they have a very talented roster. Westbrook, Harden, PG, Kawhi. Zubats,
yeah,
Bones Highland, Terrence Mann, Norm Powell, PJ Tucker, Mason Plumlee.
Yeah.
Sure. Cool. Right? But I mean, really, one, is Kawhi better than
any of Jokic, the top 10 players? Yeah.
Jokic, Steph, KD, LeBron, Book. AD, Book. Yeah, Durant. Like, is he better than any of those guys?
Kawhi? Anthony Edwards?
Even fully, I'd take Kawhi over Anthony Edwards fully healthy, but I don't know if I'd take him because when I say fully healthy, I don't mean people think that fully healthy Kawhi means 2019 Kawhi, mm-hmm. right? Or like, and that's not what it means, right? Fully healthy Kawhi just means he's not gonna get hurt so that he's out of a series.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at Kawhi right now, he doesn't look the same. Like, you've talked about it a lot. Even when he just walks around, he looks like he's in pain. But on the court, his impact is not the same. Kawhi's not playing Kawhi Leonard defense, you know, 75% of the game like he used to. Okay. He could maybe pull it out. He'll bust it out for like 15% of the game.
Yeah.
Maybe when it matters. Yes, I still think he still has massive hands, right? He can still just take the ball away from people like they're babies and he's getting the candy. You know, like, yes, he can do that, but he's not doing it for most of the game. And he's also not – you know how he has those poster dunks in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he had three of those this season.
Mm.
You know, over, including the playoffs, over like 95 games. I'd be, shocked if they even play that many games. Mm. He certainly won't play that many games. But, 70 games or whatever he plays, he's not the same, man. He's not the same. He's still good, and fully healthy. He's still, like a top 20, possibly a top 10 player, possibly. But, we just talked about Jokic. Like, Jokic is the best player in the NBA, barely trying. And Kawhi Leonard has to try, like, his maximal hardest
to be a
top 10. He's got to open 9 gates, Cliff, just to, he's got to open a secret 9th gate and then break his body again, just to get to not Hokage level, right? Just to get to the kind of the S rank level, just to get to that rank, just to get to that level. And that's just too, can it happen? Sure, he could do it. And maybe retire after the season because his body is utterly destroyed because he maxed out everything. But that's not something you want to bet on, right? That's definitely not something I'd bet on. Is it possible? Sure, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, Kawhi is Zane, the ice ninja from Ninjago.
He's Zane. He hasn't learned yet. He's Zane, though, yet.
Jokic truly is freaking Hashirama. The first Hokage. Freaking do anything, but he don't care, dude.
Whatever. Let me try this.
He don't care.
Hey, guys, what do you think about... What if I do some wood jutsus?
What should we do?
What do you guys think?
What, Madara, you're so mad at us? Oh, if you kill me, you'll be happy? All right, I'll die. That's cool.
It's fine. Oh, you brought me back.
He don't care.
You brought me back, Orochi. What's up?
He don't care. He's like, wait, what's happening out here? That's hey, cool, guys.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool to see all these people that are descendants of ninjas. Great.
Cool.
You don't care, right, dude. Oh, you don't freaking care.
I'm disappearing. All right. Peace out.
You're right. Kawhi probably is the biggest issue with the Clippers, right? Because they need a best player. That's what they need. They need the best player to do something. They have a really fantastic NBA 2K roster from 2016. Like, wow. Sure. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable roster, right? But
man,
obviously
2016,
this
roster would be... Let's go 2018. This roster would be just unstoppable.
This is a 36 points per game, James Harden. This is a 30-12-12 Russell Westbrook,
Oh, yeah.
Look, this is an incredible roster overall, just talent-wise, but they're not – this isn't 2016 anymore. They're going to have to learn to figure it out. And the other thing is, James Harden is a very big negative right now in the intangibles market. Joe, this is an insane stat, but this is his fourth team since 2021. Two calendar years, he's played for Houston, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, now the Clippers. In two calendar years. And of course, Kawhi hasn't played 60 since San Antonio. He's just a mercenary. And of course, Westbrook is coming off needing therapy because he played with LeBron James, And then, of course, Paul George... The pandemic P himself, who is just living in his own fantasy land.
That's the four?
Do you
think Paul George is even fully engaged in basketball right now? He's probably thinking more about his podcast, to be honest.
That's the four that you're putting this together, and you're telling me they're going to make the run? Hmm. This is the Suicide Squad without the Joker?
Cliff, this is the bad Suicide Squad 2. They made two Suicide Squad movies. The second one was okay.
Yeah.
It was much better than one James Gunn did. The first one, I don't remember. It's David Ayer. terrible. It's just a terrible, nonsensical movie. And it had Will Smith and Margot Robbie in it.
And Margot Robbie. Yeah.
And it's stacked. And it was just trash. It was just utter stacked. Trash. Viola Davis was in it.
Yeah. Viola Davis. Cara Delevingne. They got tons of people.
Oh, yeah. They had tons of. Yeah. And it was just so bad. Because that's what happens. There is no. And remember, I don't know if you know anything about that movie, but they made it. And they cut the trailer. These, like, guys who do music videos cut the trailer for it. And they were like, hey, we should have them edit the movie because people really like the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And it was terrible.
That's not the same skill set. As we talk about with MCU people and MCTV people.
Yes. Yes.
It's not the same skills.
Which, oh gosh, that has been just an utter disaster for Phase 4. That epitomizes what the Clippers are. The Clippers are these MCU execs thinking, hey, remember back when the first Iron Man came out? Remember like what people were doing? Remember what NBA teams were doing? Remember the Super Team era? Cliff, why are they trying to build a Super Team? It's not the Super Team era anymore. The Super Team era ended, what, in 2018?
It ended after KD left the Warriors.
Yeah, 2019?
That was the end.
And that was the end. And they are trying to rebuild that with not even super players.
Just to stick one last thing into the Suicide Squad analogy. Joe, this would be like if DC said, we're going to pool all the money for movies for the next 10 years into the success of Suicide Squad. Yep. And Suicide Squad has to be better than Endgame. And if it does, we succeeded. Why would anyone choose to do that? Why? Why? Why?
Hey, you guys want to do Justice League with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman? Or do you want to do Suicide Squad? With Harley Quinn. And who cares? Just other people.
Harley Quinn, who is a side character in the Batman universe.
That's a
Deadshot, who is even more of a side character than Harley Quinn is in the Batman universe.
Cliff, you just asked me, does this make them a shoo-in for the Western Conference Finals? Okay, well, let's see. Would you rather have the Suicide Squad or the Justice League, the Avengers, X-Men, or, you know, whatever? Like, yeah, these are the teams. Which team are you going to pick? Okay. I mean,
How about Batman and Robin?
I'm not betting on the Suicide Squad. That's for sure.
How about Blue Beetle?
My goodness.
How about Cobra Kai as a team?
I mean, it's a mess. A mess. Obviously getting Harden doesn't help. They got very little. Do they have a yes, they have a chance. Okay. They have a chance. But it's very small. It's very slim.
They have Westbrook already to run the team. Like, what are you Harden to do? What are you asking him to do?
Cliff, Harden played with Westbrook. I don't understand. Westbrook and PG played together. It's like this hasn't ever worked. None of these combinations have worked.
Westbrook will bring Harden into the locker room. That's what they're thinking.
I don't think anybody can help this team. Okay. You know, like, there's always those guys we talk about, like, Klay Thompson. Put Klay Thompson on any team. I don't think he's going to make them better.
He's not
going to make them better. No, nobody can make this team better. This team's a mess. You can only play with one basketball, so I don't know what's going to happen.
It's really weird, but all right. We'll see. Clipper fans are excited. I don't know why, but okay. All right, Joe. WTF is the in-season tournament, and how the hell does this thing even work? So, Joe, I'm going to try to explain to you what it is, and let's talk through it. Basically, Joe, this month of November is for group stages. There's three groups with five teams each in each conference. If you're curious, the Lakers group consists of the Suns, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, and the Jazz. This is similar to World Cup rules, FIBA rules, right? You play in your group stage, depending on how you do, is how you place or don't place into the actual tournament. So those tournament games, these play group stage games won't be played every night. It'll be taking place on Tuesdays and Fridays. Those are the days that are tournament days. From there, eight teams advance from the group stage to the knockout stage, which is a single game elimination. Okay? Basically, the three best records in each conference and the best record of the second place of the groups, right? So you just need to beat your group stage. Quarterfinals will be played in normal arenas. Semifinals and championship games will be played in Vegas. There will be an MVP crown. Every game except for the finals will count towards regular season standings. Now, we were talking about this prior to recording the pod. For people that are playing in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, all the other teams that don't make those games will play each other in a schedule that has yet to be determined that will organize as best as possible to the normal season of four West or four in your conference, two in the opposing conference schedule type thing. It won't be perfect because some people will end up either playing someone three or one or five times, but that's the gambit that they're making. Does this make sense, first of all?
I don't know what the heck's going on. I don't understand. I, like Damian Lillard, do not know what the hell is going on. He said after they beat the Knicks, I think, is like the first game of the tournament. And he's just like, I don't really know what the hell's going on. They're like interviewing him. And that was his answer about the tournament. I don't know what's happening, Cliff. I don't know how this can make sense in terms of scheduling and how many games you play for the regular season, for the actual season. But I don't know. I don't know.
It's okay, Joe, let's hit it. All day or cray cray, the in-season tournament will be good for the NBA.
I'm going to say all day.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though it's weird and I don't really get it, I understand that they're making a lot of comparisons to like soccer and what happens. And
sure.
But it's different because the winners are like you get points, right? And that counts toward the ultimate, who is ultimately the champion.
Yeah.
That's not this, right? You don't get, there's no carryover. There's no extra, like, yes, they're regular season games, but you don't, for winning the tournament, you don't get some kind of bonus, right? Like, you don't get an additional three wins. Money. Yeah, you get money. So on that level, I don't think it makes any sense. However, what I will say is, this is what I like about it, Cliff. All of a sudden, it felt like these games mattered.
Mm.
All of a sudden, the players were playing like it mattered. Mm-hmm. And you saw all the playoff tendencies for every single team suddenly reveal themselves. Right? Julius Randle, he shot like, what did he shoot? 5 for 20, 6 for 20 something? Like, yep. And I'm like, dude, it's playoff Randle. He just appeared again for no reason. Jalen Brunson goes off. He had 40 something points.
Of course.
And I'm like, dude, it's playoff Jalen. He showed up. And then on the they Miami's lost, of course, to sucking. The Bucks.
Then all of a sudden, when it matters, Jimmy Butler shows up.
Miami's been trash. They, like, cannot win a game. And then all of a sudden, playoff Jimmy shows up, takes over. They stumble down the stretch.
They might win the in-season tournament, like, honestly.
It's so crazy. Dame, who's been, like, okay with the Bucks, all of a sudden, it's the tournament. He's hitting clutch shots.
Clutch shots.
He's hitting Dame threes. It's Dame time all of a sudden at the end of the game.
He's back.
The Celtics are playing the T-Wolves in some meaningless game. But for some reason, and the Celtics, by the way, they've been dominating. They scored 155 points the other night in a regular season game. They play the Celtics, and all of a sudden, they're choking. Like, what's going on? Why are you – Jaylen Brown, why are you turning the ball over again? Why can't you dribble again? All of a sudden, Jason Tatum, why are you throwing it to the corner when nobody's there? And they just fumble the game away. T-Wolves weren't great down the stretch either. Like, both teams were trying to lose.
I mean, the T-Wolves are trash. We know they're trash.
But the T-Wolves are bad. That's the thing. They are bad. And they kind of got out-choked by the Celtics in that game. And it's just fascinating, Cliff. Even in these meaningless games.
Yeah.
It means OKC, utterly...
OKC, I mean, without SGA, were dominating the Warriors, right? Mm. But... the Warriors normally in a regular season game would have sat their starters. But yep. Steph played the rest of the game and Steph won.
It was so crazy. And you know, that's one of the Warriors thing. It reminds me of the old Lakers, but it's kind of like they get lucky a little bit.
Yeah.
Because teams start choking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this is how like the Shaq and Kobe Lakers
were. It's the Federer thing.
It's just the pressure. And then all of a sudden, you just start making these mistakes. And then calls start going your way, right? Like, the momentum gets behind kind of the incumbent, like the greater team, like the historically greater team. And I feel like the Warriors have that. They're one of the few teams that have that, right, in the league right now. I don't feel like a lot of other teams just the gravitas, right? Just like, you know, you get nervous when they start coming back towards the end of the game.
It's because their core is intact and they've achieved a ton. So it's like, I see Steph, Clay, and Dre and Looney walking towards me. That's the same championship crew four times.
Yep. And even guys like Wiggins, you know, it's like he's got one. Like, they're part of the later crew, but still. And so, yeah, you just see it, though. Somehow this meaningless tournament brings out these tendencies and you see them. And I love. I'm like, wow, this is really amazing to watch. So I do think it's good for the NBA. I think injecting some purpose, some meaning into what are typically meaningless games. And I heard, actually, I think Brian Windhorst was talking about it. And he said that Adam Silver's plan was to get people interested in basketball during the football season. And I got to say, it's working. Because I'm mostly paying attention to football. But then I'm like, oh, these basketball games are really interesting right now in a time period where they typically are not very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's what's genius about this is he's making meaningless regular season games matter. Right?
Yes.
Without condensing the season. So that's what I think is genius. I think his intention is clear that he's trying to take away from baseball and football during a time when it's like important, right? So Tuesdays and Fridays, he didn't do it on Mondays and Sundays. You know, he did it on Tuesdays and Fridays when there's nothing else. Like go tune in. This is most important outside of football. Here's my thing though. I think this is great for NBA fans. I think this is tough for casuals. Because it's like, if NBA hoop heads can't understand what the hell is going on and the rules of it and why it matters, it's going to be impossible for a casual. I think the other thing is we love the nuances of playoff basketball and what that does to people. The casuals don't care. They just want to see a good game, period, right?
Right.
So I don't know if it matters that much.
I'm going to disagree with you because I think it's actually easier for casuals. Mm. See, we only don't understand the point of the tournament because we care about the whole season.
Mm.
I think if somebody doesn't know much about basketball and they're like, oh, they're doing a basketball tournament, I think that's actually easier for them to understand.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, it's a tournament. It's group stage. You know, because it's Fridays. Just like any other. It's just like any other tournament, right? It's like, and then at the end when it's going to be single elimination, it's even easier to understand. It's like March Madness, right? It's like everybody understands what's happening because it's just single elimination.
Right.
There's
winner,
no series.
Win or go home.
Yeah, win or go home. And I think that's way easier. And I think they'll be interested. They might be interested if it's because the quality of the games are better. Like it's like you're saying, casual fans usually just want to see a good game. And I do think for them, these games usually, I mean, half these guys would be sitting, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
People wouldn't even be playing. Yeah, they'd just be like, oh, who cares? It's a random back-to-back in November. Like, why would I play this game? But because I'm sure they want the money, right? It's $500,000, right, per player. Like, that's money for anybody. No one's going to turn that down.
That's nice money.
Yeah, even if you're a millionaire, you know, a millionaire NBA player. And I'm sure a lot of those guys, they're probably thinking, you know, if you're like the LeBron James and you have like a multimillionaire, you're still going to think about the Rui Hachimura, you know, or like the guy who this money does actually mean a lot more to them. And you don't want to be like a messed up teammate and be like, well, you know, I have millions of dollars, so I'm not going to care about the guy at the end of the bench who gets paid too, you know? So like, I think it does incentivize people in a lot of ways, and that's going to be better for casuals because it's going to create a higher quality product.
That's fair. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it takes. I'm really excited to see how the knockout stages go. Like if that gets really hyped, if the marketing gets really big for that, and if people are really excited for it, I'm curious to see how it goes. Joe, who do you think? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, who do you think is the best chance of winning this thing?
Who would want to win this? Who would want
to
win
this? Miami wants to win this.
Miami, I think, is a very good pick. Mm-hmm. I would say, let's do, who do you think are the most incentivized teams? Which teams want to win this?
The Celtics.
Okay.
Miami. Dallas. And maybe Golden State.
I think the teams so you did four.
Yeah. I think those are the four that want to win this like the most.
I'll do four. I think my four are Miami.
Uh-huh.
Milwaukee.
Oh, interesting.
OKC.
That's a good one.
Who would be my fourth? I'll go. Who wants to win?
Who wants to win?
I'm gonna go New York Knicks.
Oh, that's a that's a good one.
I don't think they're gonna win, but I think
they're gonna try real hard.
Yeah, I think those are the teams. I think Miami because they just want to win. This brings out the competition in them, especially Jimmy.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee because of all the contending teams, they have the most question marks.
Okay.
And I think they're not looking good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not gelling, you know, as much as some of the, I don't think Phoenix is worried because they have some injury concern. You know, Golden State obviously looks amazing. The Celtics look amazing. I don't think they care if they win this. You know, I think Milwaukee wants to, like, prove something to themselves. I don't think it proves anything to the league, but it will help them, you know, and their competitiveness and their gelling. And then OKC, because they're young and I think they want to prove something, you know, and this will definitely prove something for them. And then the Knicks, obviously, because they're the Knicks and they would love to win anything. This is the type of thing I could see Tibbs driving his players into the ground to win. And then, you know, Julius Randle breaks his leg. He's out for season because he's played so hard in this random tournament.
Yeah, I think the Celtics have more to prove to themselves with this. And it's just
you
like,
think so, though? I feel like. But why?
Because they can't win. They can't get over the hump. So, like, they want to prove that they can get over this bug, the clutch bug. Like
I think that's what we think. I don't think that's what they think.
I see.
Yeah, I think we think that. I don't think the Celtics themselves or Celtics fans. Let us know if there's any Celtics fans out there. I don't think Celtics fans think that the Celtics are not clutch. I think Celtics fans think that they're unlucky.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic denial.
I think that's what they think. They think like, oh, we should have. You know, this is a classic Celtics way of thinking. But like, you know, You guys let me know if I'm wrong, okay? But, like, I think they think, like, oh, we should have, you know, we should have won the championship, you know, when they played Golden State in the finals. You know, they some things didn't go their way or calls, you know. We should have done – or they had some injuries, you know, and Robert Williams wasn't 100% and, like, this. You know, I think that's the kind of stuff, you know. Miami was just on fire. Like, what can you do? They're going to shoot, you know, whatever percentage they were shooting from three because they were on fire, right? Like, there's nothing you could do about that. They came back, valiant efforts, you know, all this kind of stuff. I don't think they realize that the Celtics have been bad at closing for, like, three seasons. And there's some whispers, I'm sure, about Tatum, but I don't think it's, like, serious.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you think the NBA wants to win this?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a great question.
Who do you think the NBA wants to win this to legitimize it as much as possible?
I mean, easy answer is the Lakers. Only because the Lakers have fans everywhere. Sure. And if the Lakers won this, and LeBron has fans everywhere, sure. If the Lakers won this, it would...
Yeah, helps LeBron's legacy, right? He adds more accolades.
I mean, I don't really think so, but I just think the turn, because you're saying what would legitimize the tournament. If a ton of fans are happy about the winner, that legitimizes the tournament, right? Because all Laker fans could be like, we won, you know, like, sure, see, sure. Yeah. We're awesome. And that's what you want. That generates a lot of, you know, it's going to be trending on X. It's going to be, you know, on all the social medias, right? And then they're going to talk about it on ESPN every freaking 5 seconds, you know, and like if OKC wins, that's terrible for them.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. Like, if the Lakers win, if Boston wins, if Golden State wins.
I think, let me give you one more. What if Wemby won?
Ooh, that would be interesting. That would be interesting. I'll be honest, though. I don't know if the NBA wants Wemby to be amazing right now. You know?
I don't know.
Maybe, but I don't know. Maybe. It's. I think they, like, right now, the storylines are, because you got a lot of good teams.
Yeah.
And a lot of superstars, and a lot of those stars have chances to win championships.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. You know, that's generally where they want the, because you got Book and KD and you got Steph and Clay.
Luka, LeBron, Jokic, and AD. Giannis, Luka, Kyrie. Embiid.
You got, yeah, Tatum and Brown. And, like, there's so many guys who are on, yeah, Dame, Giannis. Like, they want their stars. Imagine, like, how much of Dame's capital has been wasted in Portland.
Sure.
Yeah. He's like one of the best players of the NBA. He's hitting clutch shots. He's doing, like, he's dropping 70 points. But, like, he plays in a market nobody cares about. Yeah.
No one's watching.
And they're not good. So not only is it a small market, but nobody cares nationally because they're not good. You know, whereas at least in Milwaukee, still small market, smaller market. But at least they're going to be contenders. He's going to play in the playoffs. You know, they're going to make a lot more money off that. Like, it helps the brand. And I think right now, I don't think they care if Wemby's just whatever's kind of, you know, because they want to market the stars and have them all at the forefront.
It's a good answer. All right, Joe, should we hit our two for the road now?
Let's do it.
All right, let me start with mine. My one for the road. Joe, I picked up golf. I've done it. I've crossed the 40-year-old thresh mark. I've hung up my sneakers and have put on my other sneakers. I don't wear golf shoes. What do you need cleats for? You don't need that. Just wear sneakers. It's fine. Put on my sneakers.
We'll see how this evolves, because I'm sure that take will change over time.
I got my brother's golf clubs from high school. They're definitely not from this decade, or maybe even the previous decade. And the reason why I did it is because my friend told me that I could not shoot 149 or 150. Could not shoot 150 on an 18-hole course without picking up a club. And I told him, I am the most naturally gifted person you will ever meet.
Of course that would be your answer.
And so just went on. Yeah,
but wait.
100 degree okay. weather.
Okay.
In
you told
Cabo.
The story first.
100 degree weather in Cabo. It was really hard. A lot harder than I thought it would be. I didn't give golf the respect that it deserved. But I still shot 149. So
props.
Then, you know, he was like, wasn't that fun? I was like, well, it was 100 degrees. And the thing that annoyed me about it was it felt very alone, right? Hmm. There was a lot of hitting the thing by yourself while someone else is carting somewhere else to hit a ball somewhere else. And then right. you guys come together and you cart away. And then people are behind you and people are in front of you. So you're not like chilling, right? You're not chilling. You're just like constantly hitting this thing and then moving it forward. So that was golf. But, you know, he challenged me to improve. I played again last Friday and I did a lot better. I shot 120, right? So I improved by like 29 strokes or so.
Yeah.
And it was way more fun because what we did was we played with teams. So two of us versus another two. So I was like, oh, it can be fun. It can be fun because I kind of equated it to like pool almost. You know, you play pool and it's like, oh, that's cool. But like, I don't really feel like I have to get that good at it to like enjoy it, you know, but it's fine thus far. My golf journey, I shot 18 two times, 149 to 120. It's all right. I haven't gotten any new clubs. Putting is very hard, but you know, it's all right. I don't know. It's all right. It's all right. Golf is fine. It's fine, but okay. I don't want to tear my ACL. I don't want to tear my Achilles. I don't want to do any of that.
Just to be clear, I would rather play basketball and risk tearing my other ACL. But just to be clear, your you've other hit ACL. Before. Like you're making it seem like you never touched a golf club before, and then you went on a course. For
I've
the
hit
first
before.
Time.
I've been on a range before. You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I never been on a course before. Which
right,
is
yeah.
pretty different. It's
which is different.
10 times more fun being on a course than hitting balls at a range. Hitting balls at a range is the worst. I like think it's so boring. Like, okay, cool. Let me just smack this freaking stick and then hit these balls. Let's see where it goes. Cool. All right, your turn. Like, what? Who cares?
Your turn. People just go by themselves and then... practice.
Yes. People
it's
also
practice.
Go by themselves. Yeah, exactly, right?
It's
like,
practice.
Go and practice. Like, freaking go and do your piano lesson by yourself. Who did that? No one likes that. That's not fun. That's not the fun part. I don't know. This is why I'm never a master of anything, Joe, because I never can
yes,
sit
you
down.
You are revealing that, Cliff. This is the opposite of Kobe's mentality.
I do not have Mamba mentality. That is right. Right.
I
everyone always says, like, you know, what practice. People do in the shadows is what shows up. You know, like, I hate doing stuff in the shadows. That's the worst part.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I only like doing things in the spotlight. Anything in the shadows is the worst part. Is the worst part of anything, learning anything.
This is the most Cliff rant of all time.
I
for those of you who don't know Cliff, this
it.
Is the most. This is the most Cliff rant.
I can't stand it.
The most true to Cliff it. Rant.
I can't stand
I
it.
Like being in the gym by myself shooting jumpers.
Who likes that? That's the worst. It's the worst.
I love it.
Just
I
shooting
like,
jumpers by yourself. You
I
have
like
to pick
solitude.
Up the ball by yourself. Can't trash talk anybody. Can't have a conversation wow. with anybody. Like, what?
That's so funny.
Can't play a game. What game are you going to play? Horse by yourself? That's the worst.
I also like playing piano by myself. I play exclusively for myself.
That's
not
no one can.
Ever for anybody else.
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh my God. So again,
Mamba mentality, y'all.
That's my journey, guys. No
not
Mamba
mentality.
I am a James Harden mentality, okay? No, actually, who was it? I guess it was Rondo. He would only play on nationally televised games and locally televised games. Nationally televised games, he'd get triple doubles. Locally televised games, he'd get like 8, 6, and 4 because he was just like, who cares? Who freaking cares? I get it, Rondo. I get it. Who cares, man? Who cares? All right, Joe. What is your one for the road?
My one for the road. I guess I'll just talk about Ahsoka.
Ahsoka!
I think was a really good show.
It was a good show.
Probably the best Star Wars show. Mandalorian season 2.
You have said that Ahsoka is your favorite Star Wars character or has the best arc.
Has the best arc. Not my favorite character, yeah, but has a great arc if you watch the cartoon and stuff. Sure. I know this is for like real nerds, but like if you watch Clone Wars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She has an amazing arc because she starts out as a super annoying character.
Yep.
That people are just like, what the heck? Why are they trying to give Anakin Skywalker a Padawan?
Yeah.
This like annoying girl.
And she's very defiant. Who's
like a Mary Sue. Yeah. And who comes in and just like has all the skills and stuff. Yep. Yeah, know-it-all. Exactly. But they really put her in her place in the show. Like she makes mistakes.
Yeah.
She learns. Clone Wars, by the way, the cartoon, it makes Anakin like an infinitely better character. Mm. Than the movies do.
More complex. And so,
yeah, he's way more complex. It makes way more sense why he turns to the dark side, you know, instead of just like turning on a dime like he does in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay. Now I'll listen to you.
And I'll say what it's done for me is actually restored my hope a little bit in Star Wars. Disney is really not doing well right now.
No.
In every way. Brand quality is not good. Public perception is not good. Even the stock is not doing well. Like, people just do not believe in Disney anymore. Because Marvel's Phase 4 has been trash. And
Pixar's been whatever, too.
Even Pixar. Yeah, even the movies.
Yeah,
Pixar. And Star Wars has been real bad ever since The Last Jedi, I guess. You know, The Force Awakens at least had some potential. And then The Last Jedi and everything that came after that has just been pretty bad except for The Mandalorian.
The Boba Fett
Dave
show.
Dave Filoni.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Boba Fett. So terrible. Gosh. Dave Filoni, who did Clone Wars and who did Ahsoka, apparently he's kind of taken over. And so I like Ahsoka because it's like a real Star Wars show.
Yeah.
Like the feel it gives you, you know, like the force and the battles and even the space stuff. It's mysterious and fun and an interesting story. And it just gives you that feeling. I don't know how to describe this feeling, Cliff, but it's like when the John Williams starts playing, right? When the music comes out and you're watching something and you're interested, you're like engaged fully. And it just gives you this feeling, right? It's like half nostalgia, half like wonder, like the Disney feeling. Ahsoka really gave me that. And so it's restored my hope a little bit. I actually heard a rumor that maybe Kevin Feige, after Secret Wars, is going to take over Star Wars.
Mm.
That would be very interesting. And then they're going to fire Kathleen Kennedy because she has been terrible. What?
Stretching him thin, though. Unless he's
No. He's going to leave. He's going to leave Marvel. Yeah. So after Secret Wars, I heard he's going to leave Marvel. I have a lot of hope right now. Apparently, Daredevil, they were going to do some super bad Daredevil, like She-Hulk level Daredevil, and ruin the Netflix Daredevil. That's how the show was. They completely scrapped it.
Oh, good.
They just got rid of it, and they're starting from scratch again, and apparently it's going to be more like the Netflix Daredevil. So I think Disney's moving in the right direction right now. Kevin Feige's trying to come back. I think Marvel's getting back. Star Wars is getting back, so I'm hopeful. So if you haven't seen Ahsoka, check it out. It's a good show that might restore your faith in Star Wars if you watch some of the other shows.
It's very solid. Just simple principles such as not everything goes your way. You can't win every battle.
Every battle, yeah, automatically. Yeah.
And you would assume, because this is unlocked Ahsoka, right?
Sure.
This is top tier Ahsoka, but she can lose, right?
Yeah.
It and so that's the difference between Rey, who's not unlocked at all, and beats
and
Kylo
beats
Ren
the big bad in the first movie.
In the first movie, this is Ahsoka in fully unlocked, not even losing to big bad, losing to one of the, you know, mid guys, as the kids
say. Let's not spoil, but you know.
Yeah, but like that, right?
Yeah,
and
very
so,
good.
Which is great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Great arcs, great acting too. Some of the performances are really good, especially Baylan, the bad guy. He's
solid.
Yeah, he's great in this.
I like their whole theme of Sith and light, dark and light is not so black and white.
Yes,
it's fantastic.
Yes,
fantastic. All right, that's it, everyone, for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is FPR with the Joe. Peace.